Ta-da. All right. Let's start for a minute here. And we were on the Statue of Perfect Man, still are. Part like 54 or 55, somewhere in there. So I hope it's not boring you, but remember, you don't go up the Statue of Perfect Man in a day, a week, a month, or even a year. It takes time. And you know what? God's gracious. We saw in there where he was long-suffering. He gives man time to repent, gives man time to grow up. But there's going to come a time, though, if you read in there, there's a time that God don't do that. He comes to a point and he says, that's it. All right? I mean, he chides long, but he's long-suffering. But there is going to come an end to everything. There's an end to all things. All right? So there's going to come an end to where he's not going to be so long-suffering in this virtues of the Statue of a Perfect Man. So we've come now to brotherly kindness. We've been talking about brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is one of the hardest ones. It's one of the most complex ones because you can say, well, you got to be so nice to your brother, and then you got to look over here and see where Jesus drove the people out of the temple, where Brother Branham would be sweet and humble to certain, and then he would call them just like Jesus did, snakes in the grass, vipers, and all those things. So there's a fine line in there that, you know, and don't get me wrong, but let's just put it this way. I can't take somebody that's got this meek, lowly, everybody, you know, you see preachers, they walk up and they go, oh, bless your heart. You know, it's like a kind old priest. I don't be that way. I don't believe Peter was that way. I don't believe Paul was that way. I don't believe James was that way. I don't believe John was that way. And I sure don't believe Jesus was that way. Well, I told you what I'd do next time. I'd go, well, you need to sit down then if you don't think you're the one that's supposed to be preaching. What'd they put you there for? Paul didn't go up there one day and go, well, you know, I think Barnabas ought to be preaching this sermon today. No, he got up there and he said, I speak this with boldness. I speak this with assurance. And I was thinking about it last night, thinking about brotherly kindness. I thought, well, you know, some people think that, they quote that scripture, they quote the quote where Brother Brown says, I'd rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my spirit than right in my, you know, doctrine and wrong in my spirit. Well, that's okay, but what if you're right in both? What if you're right in both? Paul was right in both, and you know, I believe people hated Paul. They killed him, didn't they? They hated Jesus. They killed him, didn't they? Hey, and that's what I was thinking. I thought, well, Lord, if everybody loves you, it's like Dad always said, and I agree, if everybody loves you and everybody is in love with you and everybody thinks you're the greatest, you're a hypocrite. And that's like these preachers in the message. I was looking at them. You see some that'll preach anything just to compromise so they can go get in a pulpit somewhere. Well, then most of your popular preachers are the ones that are kind of off a little bit in their doctrine because they can go preach the same thing here, the same thing here. But, you know, what about Paul, Brother Branham? Brother Branham come up to the end of his ministry, and this man was preaching before tens of hundreds of thousands of people. And then he was in a room about the size of this with about 20-something people when he preached one of the greatest messages he ever preached, and that was the token, or the rapture message, and the token message out in Arizona. So, you know, where is it? If you're popular, then I kind of question what's going on in your, you know, in your ministry or in your life if you're just a popular person. I was telling a preacher, the same one that said he didn't want people to know what he believed. I talked to him at the thing Friday night. But it's just like this. You remember the great thing we did on the Daniel 70-week series, you know, we did that, and then we did it for the ministers. Well, we weren't at the last ministers meeting, and the last ministers meeting, they got discussing it. And he said, we went on and decided it was 3.5 years. You weren't there, so we decided it was 3.5 years. And I looked at the brother, and I said, you're still wrong. I don't care whether I'm there or not. Right. You're still wrong. What does that matter? Does that make any difference? But you think, well, that brother don't have brotherly kindness. He's talking about me. Well, maybe everybody needs a little correction every once in a while. I'm trying to get people to get out of that old thing that Brother Branham was wrong here and right here, and he didn't get this right, but he got this right. That's not true, people. That's a spirit. That's a spirit that I'm against so bad. And the preachers of this message don't see that. They don't see that. And that's the problem. Right. Well, that's what he says right here. He says, we read it before. My brother sinned against me, shall I forgive him? 70 times 7. Now watch him. He said, somebody said not long ago, how can you believe these things you do and still go to the assembly of God, oneness, all the rest? Then put, see, brotherly kindness, hoping someday patience with him, see, temperance with him. But now remember, Brother Branham never compromised with them. He never compromised with their doctrine. When he preached his doctrine, he preached his doctrine. He didn't back up one iota. But he was trying, like Sister Trudy is, he was trying to get them to see that something has covered their eyes and that they're in a deception, that it wasn't. And true, brotherly kindness is something that we've got to have love for the brother. And I have love for all those brothers. But to come to a point in time to where right's right and wrong's wrong. And in this message, two people can't be right and have two different doctrines. That's what I was thinking about this morning. Brother Branham didn't have 17 different doctrines. He had one doctrine, and it was the truth. And if we preach that truth, then our doctrine's right. But it's like said, you know, you got two opinions. Either one's right and one's wrong, or either both wrong, but you both can't be right. So, you know, there's the contention in the church today, but I told Brother Quinn last night, we were talking about it a little bit, and it kind of took him aback a little bit sitting there, but I said, look, one word got us out of the garden. Being one word off is not going to get us back in. Now, Brother Branham said that himself. One word. Just one word got us out of the garden. So being off, you say, well, this ain't important. But, you know, Daniel Sandy Weeks, this ain't. It's all important. If you don't have it all lined up, I promise you one thing. The headstone will not come down on a piece of stone that's turned a different way than the rest of them. Okay? It won't fit. Brother Branham, we'll not read it today, but we'll read it next week. He talks about the honing. Well, what does that do? When you got a piece of something that won't fit, what do? You take a piece of sandpaper, and oh, man, it hurts. If that was your flesh, it'd really hurt. But that's what we're talking about. This is not a stone that we're building. We're building a stature of flesh. So you have to take that little rubbing compound, and you got to rub it to where that capstone will fit down on there. Because if there's a burr sticking out, anybody knows, even shooting guns and stuff, that if there's a burr, one little burr that you can't see with your normal eye, if one burr is in that barrel, it can affect that bullet. One burr, not the whole thing, just one little burr. That's why you have to keep your barrel cleaned and all that stuff. That's why Brother Brown was talking about keeping our barrel clean. You got to keep everything clean, but there is a truth. I don't think Paul had a truth. Paul had the truth. And Paul comes up and says, you'll be judged by my gospel. And people hated him for it, I'm sure. But you know what? There was a group of people that believed his gospel and went in. And so there's a people that believes the prophet's message, and they're going to go in. Not that Brother Branham had a message. That's what they're seeing. I'm seeing in the message world that they think Brother Branham just brought a message. No, he brought the message. Pure and unadulterated. And if you get out of that, then that don't make me no person bigger than you. But if you're wrong, you're wrong. It's like I was talking about Abram and Abraham. I hope you understood that. Abram was okay, but Abram was not the promise. Abram was not the father of our faith. Abraham was the father of our faith. But we have to move through the Abram part to get to the Abraham part. All right? So, and it's okay to be Abram because Abram got a promise. Abram was high father. Abram got the things that he was supposed to get. But there was a promise of a son being born, not to Abram, but to Abraham. and not to Sarai, which was a contentious woman, but she moved up into being a princess. And then what happened? God brought the promise. All right? Same way with brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is not being a meek, mild, kind old priest. I'm sorry, that's just the way I do not see brotherly kindness as that. I don't see that. I believe in being bold. I believe in being resolved or resilient in what you believe. And if somebody can knock you off of it, you didn't have it to start with. Whether your doctrine, well, I mean, whether your attitude is right or wrong. Paul didn't worry about it that day when he come up and he said, if an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel besides what you heard from me, let him be accursed. Now, when can we say that? When can we say that? You say, oh, you're being boastful. No, I'm quoting Scripture. I'm quoting what Paul said. There was a man walked on this earth named Paul that didn't have the revelation you have. If the seals have been revealed to you, they weren't revealed to Paul. If you had the seals revealed to you, not just that you read the book. See, a lot of people think, well, the seals, is, Brother Brown brought the seals and we read the book. I'm not kidding you. There's a lot of people say, well, Brother Brown brought the seals and we read the book and we got it. No, you ain't. I can just look at you in the face and tell you, no, you ain't. Not unless you got a revelation of what he said. All right? Because most people take the seals as being destruction and all these things. I thought it was for redemption. I thought it was justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thought it was for the redemption of this body. That was his whole message. Well, now, well, most people don't have a revelation. They have a revelation that, like Daddy says, they have a revelation that Brother Branham had a revelation. Secondhand revelations don't get you anywhere. You know what a secondhand revelation will do? Read Acts 19. There was one man that had seven sons. Sons of Sceva. Paul we know. Jesus we know. But you guys we don't know. Because they adjured that demon in the name of Paul. Or in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. That's a secondhand revelation. Now what happened to the seven sons of Sceva? That devil jumped on them because they didn't have nothing strong enough to counteract that. In other words, they should have walked up and said, in the name of Jesus Christ that I preach or that I have come out of her. But no, that devil said, hey, I don't know you. I know Jesus and I know Paul. You I've never heard of. Why? Because it's a secondhand revelation. Yeah. Right. That's right. The problem with all of us is that we look at this and there is a balance to everything. But when you come to brotherly kindness, it's not a, when it says brotherly kindness or brotherly love, God loved those, I was trying to get this right the other day so it doesn't sound so bad. God loved those Philistine children so much till he told David to go kill them all. Now, a God that says, thou shalt not kill, because somebody asked me that question. I was down, there was a guy that was putting some lime out on our food plots this weekend, or actually Thursday, and I went down there to, or Friday, and I went down there with him, and we got talking about religion a little bit. And he said, well, now, how can God say, thou shalt not kill in the Ten Commandments? And then him walk up, or then him come to David, come to all the kings and say, wipe them all out. Women, children, animals, not just the men. I said, well, I said, to me, that shows the love of God. And, you know, you kind of look, people look at you like the love of God to kill them all. I said, yeah, them little bitty babies are going to be in heaven. But if they'd have grown up, they'd have been big Philistines and they would have been against Israel. Same way with the Amorites and all those people. God was doing them a favor. Same thing with down through the Dark Ages. God allowed that to happen, sure, for example, but those people, they gave their life for what they believed. And they have a portion of heaven waiting for them. So what part, I mean, what are we to sit here and go, well, God shouldn't have done that. Well, they're in heaven. What does it matter? What is it us to go, well, he shouldn't have killed this one, he should have killed that. God knows which ones are going and which ones are not. And Saul got in trouble, remember, when Samuel told him, said, Saul, kill everything in that city. Saul took, he saved kings and the lowing of the sheep and the bellowing of the cattle, and Saul kept a little bit for himself. He didn't do what God said. Samuel walks in. Now, what about a prophet? Now, this is a real nice, kind, brotherly kindness prophet. Samuel walks in and cuts the head off of those. Remember? He brings the kings in. He said, Saul, you were supposed to kill them all. He took Saul's sword and cut the heads off of those two kings. What a nice prophet. But you know what? God told him to do that. And if he didn't do it, then he was... That meant so much to God, though, that Saul, remember the kingdom, right then Samuel said, Saul, the kingdom will no more be yours. You disobeyed God. You're a spiritual man. Listen, you're a spiritual man. You're a prophet. You're anointed. But you will not be king anymore. You will not be successful anymore. Now remember, Saul's going to be there. Saul's going to be there. But the kingdom was rent from Saul because what Saul didn't do, what we would think would not be brotherly kindness, to where you'd go out and kill the whole group of people. But I explained to the man, I said, look, you got to see the providence of God. I had rather, like Hezekiah, if today's my day, I'd rather go on and be right with God than to be 15 more years and then just mess everything up and be wrong with God. So God knows the time, and once he decides that that's it, then we ought to say that's it. We don't hold life and death in our hands. We surely don't hold the future, so God does. So to see brotherly kindness is not the lovey-dovey attitude that most people think brotherly kindness is. When you come to brotherly kindness, you shouldn't speak harsh to nobody. Now, that's not what Brother Branham said, and that's not what the Bible said. Sure, there's ways to get, you know, there's ways to do things, but still, Jesus wasn't too, let's just put a scene here, and then I'll let you ask a question. Let's put a scene here. Jesus walks in the temple one day. He's not very popular to start with. He walks in the temple one day and he hears the high priest. I mean the dude that's supposed to have the goods, as Brother Tom Falbush used to say. The guy that you're supposed to look up to, the guy that's supposed to be your mediator to God, he's standing there preaching. All right? Let's envision that today. He's standing there preaching. Here comes Jesus walking in, sits down in the back row. Remember, he don't sit on the front. He sits in the back row because God will put him on the front row. So when the preacher gets finished, Jesus stands up. You'd think church order was out. But he stands up and he says, you generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes in the grass, hypocrites, he called them. I mean, he goes through a dissertation one time and he goes, hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. Read it in the Bible. So... does that show brotherly kindness? Yeah, it shows brotherly kindness. That's correction of brotherly kindness, all right? And if we don't take it, we're bastard children anyway. So he knew they were of their father. Now, what about somebody standing up? Now, they knew what he was talking about. He said, my father and your father is not the same person. And being spiritual, they knew what he was talking about. That's what made him mad. Because he said, in other words, if I'm the son of God, and my daddy ain't the same as yours, it don't take a lot of, you don't have to draw a picture on a wall to get that point across, but that's what Jesus said. He said, my daddy's not your daddy. Now, buddy, that hurt if somebody walked in and told the preacher in the message, said, look, your daddy ain't my daddy. That's your brother kindness. Sure, absolutely. Well, you know what it done? Those people, listen to me, those people were not saved. They were Jews. There's no salvation in that at all. But because God blinded the eyes of their ancestors, right? God blinded the eyes of their ancestors so that the Gentiles could come in. He said, that's why that, you know, you look at the, in the seals, there's the fifth seal right there. That's an example. There's your fifth seal Jew. That Jew never, well, they don't even think Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They just think he was just a good person, right? A good prophet or something. Denied he was the Son of God, but yet those people, because they said, we are Jews, we are God's people, God's going to give them eternal life. There's your fifth seal Jew. There's the white robes, right? Given to them who, to avenge our blood. Brother Branham said, that can't be a born-again believer. Because we don't cry out for vengeance, we cry out for mercy for the person. So that's where the mystery in that fifth seal is grace. Look at the grace of that fifth seal. That's the best, great, the biggest, to me, that's the best showing of grace there is, to take a person that don't even care about God. Really? Because they said Jesus is not God. They're waiting on the Messiah to come. And God's going to give them eternal life for their stand of them being Jews. And God having respect for that. Because remember when they said, let his blood be on us and our children. Well, there's your children standing there. When they were standing in front of Jesus, and the Pilate said, I don't find no fault with this man. And the Jews cried out, let his blood be on us and our children. Well, they were prophesying that that's going to happen. And look what happened to the Jews from then forward, man. It's just been a dispersed group of people. They've been shot at. People's been trying to kill them for thousands of years. But they're not going to, because they were the original bride of Christ. They were the original, right? They were the original. They were God's children. They haven't left from being God's children, because once you're God's child, you can't do away with it, all right? But they were blinded by God so that me and you could come in. Well, in blinding them, God give grace to that group of people, the Holocaust Jews, the 6.5 million Jews that were killed. Now, I don't know that all of them, but the greater portion of them will be, because that's your fifth seal Jew. How long to avenge our blood? What's he doing? They're crying from that dimension. They're crying out to the ones that are alive now to avenge the blood of those people. Well, see, that's not a Christian. So Brother Branham knew right then that wasn't the Christian. Because, see, he used to call them Christian. But it's not Christians on the altar crying, how long to avenge our blood? That's your fifth seal Jew. Because remember, that Jew is still wanting something to avenge something. You know, how long to avenge our blood? Well, they're waiting on us to get out of here so that the 144,000, their representative here, can be killed as they were. Read the scripture. Be killed as they were, and then they all go in a rapture. Okay? And then the fifth seal Jew is going to come back here in the millennium. And what a great thing, I've always said. Then they don't know anything about salvation. But boy, they're going to get an absolute teaching for 1,000 years from a group of people that did get salvation. You're going to be able to walk them in that temple and say, look, this first court was justification. Because see, they know about all that. They know about justification. They don't know about justification, but they know about the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Because remember, a Jew is a Jew. They're waiting for God to come into that Holy of Holies, in that physical temple, and show themselves. That's why they're waiting for the Messiah to come. Right? But once we get to glory, and their mind is opened up, you know, not from all the hatred. I'm talking about get all the hatred out of the way. And then us to go in the millennium, and the Jews build the temple, and then we're able to sit there and say, look, this is the real temple that he was talking about. We made it because of that blood of that man that you said, let his blood be on us and our children. We made it, and God blinded your eyes so that you couldn't see me. I mean, you couldn't see Jesus, and then now Jesus came and got us, and now we're turning around telling you about him. So that's what we're going to do for 1,000 years. We're not going to sit around and do nothing. Okay, we're not going to sit around and do anything. We're going to talk, and we're going to talk about these people. But let's get back to brotherly kindness. So brotherly kindness, watch. Now he goes through about a doctrine of the pyramid, which we won't read that. Talking about the dollar bill. Talk about the serpent on a pole. And then remember, the pyramid, the pyramid doesn't have a top on it. The real pyramid is stopped right here, right, overseas. The pyramid's not, there's not a cap or a top on it, okay? Because he was rejected, because remember, the cornerstone, if you take this cornerstone, it fits right here. Everybody see that? You take a cornerstone, right here. The cornerstone fits just like that at an angle. Well, that's just a little bitty pyramid. Top, up here, okay? So that's the cornerstone. So the corner has now been made the head, but he had to start down here at faith, at the corner, and faith was going to put it up here, okay? And this is a little pyramid in itself, right? This is the full pyramid, but this is a pyramid in itself because everything culminates right here. Everybody see that? You got it? But you understand about that. You see right here? I don't know if all of you see it or not, but this cornerstone, when they built it, it's a corner. And what does it look just like? That right there. The foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Because he wants to grow up in you. Jesus is all this. He don't need these. He is that. We're the ones that need it. He is all this. He doesn't need the cornerstone because he is the cornerstone. He don't need the headstone because that's what he is. But you and I need to start at faith down here at the foundation. Because remember, this pyramid is not a three-sided pyramid. It's a four-sided pyramid. The city's not three square. The city's four square. So that pyramid has four sides, not three. Four sides. So you got a corner over here, corner over here, and corner here, and corner here. Every one of those stones, you can take them out and put them in the other corner and they all fit. Isn't that wonderful? They all fit. And the cornerstone becomes the head. Because you can't, if you're down here and you don't have the foundation, there's no way you can build this. There's no way you can put that down on top of there. Everybody got that? Kind of good when you listen, get a little teaching. It helps you when you say chief cornerstone, everybody goes, what's he talking about? Well, right there. There's your chief cornerstone right there. That corner, that pyramid right there becomes this whole thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, it all comes from here. That's why I told you, I don't like those lines, but those lines are for reference points. Everybody understand that? Those lines going this way are for reference points because you don't get, you would think that would be like a tank and you fill it up to virtue and then, boy, that's all you get and you can't get it because of the lines there. No, I wish it was done away with and they were just like Frieda said. I just wish they were kind of words all in here. Godliness has to start down here and go all the way up. But there is a time where Brother Branham, now, somewhere I had it in here, where he said, Peter gave us the way, the road. And so it's a road map. So it's a road map to know that when you got virtue, the next thing you need to work on is knowledge. Okay? Not just that I'm going to get all the virtue I need, and then like I said, my tank's full of virtue, and then I'm going to switch over to my tank of knowledge and fill it up. No, it's all... Like I said, this cornerstone is the head. So it just fills every bit of this up. Listen, when God birthed you into the body, he gave you divine love. The new birth is the divine love of God. It's the very soul of God. Got that? So when you get the new birth, you get divine love, but you only get it in a very small portion. In other words, listen, you don't know how to handle it. And I got to get out of here because I got to hook Brother Quinn up. You don't know how to handle God. Listen, we're babies. Babies don't know how to handle mature things, right? But we are a son and daughter of God. Right down here. With divine love, which is Jesus Christ. But we have it in a baby form. Then we have to say, okay, God, help me with virtue, help me with knowledge, help me with temperance, help me with patience, okay? All right, we didn't get anywhere today, I'm sorry, but maybe we did help a little bit. And next, let's see, we're going to be gone the 31st. So, 31st of August. You got it. Labor Day weekend. If not, you need to talk to Ryan, or I'll talk to Ryan. Okay. All right, Lord bless you. Love you, man.